City Buyers Barricade Hotline. Lance McCullers joins us on the show. Lance, Mike, Seth, and Paul, good morning. How are you?
Guys, what's up?
How are you feeling right now?
No, not how are you feeling. We need to... Paul gets nervous about asking this because he freaked you out with his forearm question.
I don't want to creep you out again, but, you know, trying to lighten the mood a little bit. Do you wish you had Evan Gattis' forearm?
It all comes full circle.
You know what? The forearm jinx started 2 weeks ago when you asked Lance the question about his forearms.
Wait, was that when I asked it?
It was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That may have been the jinx.
What was it like immediately afterwards? Did you suspect it was just something muscular, or did you fear the dreaded UCL?
No, I did. I expected pretty good news, just because I'm gonna address the media later today, get a little bit more of the full story out. But this is pretty much best case scenario we were hoping for. I knew based off of other experiences that this was most likely just muscle. So I was pretty optimistic leaving LA, headed back to Houston. You know, the interview I gave, I told the Tiger Art that I was optimistic, and it turned out to be what we were hoping it would be. And so now it's really just about letting the muscle heal and then getting going again.
Is this the kind of injury with a muscle injury like this where you have to wait until after it feels good for a while before you really go out and get aggressive? It would seem like you're going to wake up one morning and it's going to feel really good, but it might not necessarily be completely healed.
Right. I don't really know. It's an interesting injury. I was told it's a little bit like a hammy or anything else like that, to where it's something that's definitely gonna be fine. You just have to. Sometimes it's quick. Sometimes it's a little bit slower. But the thing that we're most happy about is as much as I speak on my hitting prowess, we think this could have been caused by swinging. So that's good news as well. So hopefully it'll heal quicker than normal.
Do you have to avoid using that hand, that arm altogether? How are you limiting yourself in that capacity?
No, so that's the thing, which is another reason why I felt I was very optimistic it wasn't a UCL issue, is because that night, next morning, I'm fine. I can reach for doors. I can do everything normal. So that's something that indicated as well. It wasn't going to be a possible UCL injury, because usually when that type of injury happens, extending your arm is kind of out of the question, and turning doorknobs out of the question. So everything is, as long as I'm just not putting load on it, major load, carrying, my grocery carrying skills are going to be hit for a while.
That's
but other than that, you know.
You're going to do multiple trips now?
I had to do multiple trips. It's going to be terrible. No one does multiple trips.
Nobody. Yeah. You try to, like, if I get like 5 or 6 plastic bags, I only live alone. Like, I just try to carry all of them into the elevator.
Everyone does.
It's kind of mad if you don't.
I'd be paranoid if I were a pitcher, though, with the multiple plastic bag strategy, just looping all that. Sometimes you feel that stress against the side of your finger. You got to be more careful, Lance. Does let Kara handle most of that? Not because of any like gender roles or anything, but just because you're a pitcher.
That's right. You said it.
Speaking of Kara, someday you and Kara will have kids, I'm sure. And one thing you'll discover.
We have 3 dogs.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, you've got a preview of it. And so with children or with dogs, one thing that you'll know is that if you don't run them enough, they get kind of annoying. And I'm wondering what George Springer on the DL is like. Like, you're there with a pent-up George Springer every day doing your rehab. Does George act like a dog that doesn't get run enough when he's not out there playing baseball every day?
That's a good analogy. That's a good analogy. He's kind of like I am. News was very, best case scenario. And so now it's all about him seeing how good he feels. But George is awesome. He definitely wants to get back out there, as all of us do. And your analogy is spot on.
Did you say it's all about him saying how good he feels?
Yeah. It's just the whole time. It's just, this feels great. That feels great.
Trainers must hate him because, like, he can have a bone sticking out through his chin, right? And he's going to insist that he's fine.
Yeah, it's kind of like that story that I guess AJ told in Seattle when he dove for that ball. And then after the game, he was, you know, in his office, like, doing all these activities, trying to convince him how good he felt. So it's definitely we're not bored. We're not bored.
Lance McCullers joining us, brought to you by Trailer Wheel and Frame, as he does every single Thursday at 8:20. All right, so as far as the team itself, you guys have had, I forget what it is, a 10 or 11 game winning streak, whatever it was. But I want to figure out, Lance, buy or sell this. I look at this last stretch, the road trip, Seattle, the Dodgers, and San Francisco. Without you for the last part of the road trip, without Altuve, without Correa, with Springer for the last couple of games, Chris Davinsky, to me, from a team standpoint, this was, in my mind, the most impressive stretch of the season, especially what you guys were able to do in Seattle last week. Are you buying or selling that?
I'll buy that, and I think I'll buy it because of the way we went into the road trip, because of the losing streak that we had, getting swept against getting Texas, and then obviously losing the series, or not losing the series, but tying the series before that against Colorado. So we lost Colorado, got swept against Texas, went to Seattle. We all know it's a huge road trip, and we dropped the first game in a pretty dominant fashion by Paxton. So. And for us to bounce back and win next two out of three, to win that series, go to LA, win the first two, and then, you know, finish business, handle business when we go to San Francisco, I thought the guys were unbelievable. You saw how good the pitching was, and you saw guys step up the whole road trip, like Marwin and Reddick and Gattis. So it was great to see the guys finish road trip strong. I'll buy that. It was probably one of the most impressive stretches of the season for us.
And the bullpen's really been in a groove. Since July 28th, they have allowed 13 base runners over the last 24 and a third innings. They're allowing a batting average of .078, and that's from Colin McHugh, Hector Rendon, Brad Peacock, and Ryan Presley. What's been the biggest difference for the bullpen and their dominance over the last couple of weeks?
Well, I mean, it's always nice when, you know, when you get guys at the deadline, and you know they can come in and they really can help. I think everyone can kind of just relax a little bit, and everyone just kind of says, you know, I'm just going to do my role. Because whether you're a starter, whether you're a position player, a bullpen guy, you know, at some point in the season, you feel personally, whether you should feel this way or not, you feel like at some point you're trying to carry too much load. Just because, you know, maybe you haven't been pitching well and you want to pitch better, or maybe some guys are banged up. Or you're coming on some losses, so you really want to get that win that day. Whatever it is, you know, there's some point that everyone kind of tries to do a little bit too much. And I think the greatest thing with our bullpen is we have so many great pitchers in there, and they may not be, you know, the biggest name guys, which is why maybe they don't get talked about. But the way that they've handled their roles, and especially the way Colin and Peacock has readjusted, and the way Will Harris throwing the ball again now, and the way the bullpen guys that we brought in have been doing. It gives you, like, so much confidence. I came out the other day, it was 1-0, and I thought that game was over anyway, because I was like, the bullpen guys are going to come in, they're going to shut it down. Of course, we ended up by scoring, like, 15 more runs, but the way they're throwing the ball right now gives you a lot of confidence when we get an early lead that we're going to keep it.
You mentioned the roles. A.J. Hinch said going into the year that he doesn't really believe in a closer role or a setup role. So is it different for these guys? Like, what kind of a role do they necessarily have? We've been seeing Rendon obviously close games out a lot recently and bumping the save numbers up. But if you're one of those other guys and you're just sitting around, it's got to be different from a day-to-day basis. Sometimes you're in the seventh, sometimes you're in the eighth. How do you prepare for that?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I don't want to speak for AJ, but when as the season gets underway, roles start to develop. Whether they're intentional or not, it's just how it happens. Like you said, Rendon's been closing a lot of games, and you know, now you see Colin pitching a lot of big innings in the seventh and eighth inning. Peacock comes in when there's men on base and there's a big righty up, because he can kind of shut them down with sliders. So as the season progresses, you kind of know your role, whether it's the sixth inning, seventh inning, and a lot of times that eighth inning role, that seventh inning role, whatever it is, that Colin's been pitching in or that Brad's been coming in recently, those are sometimes the most important you're facing. If you're facing that meat of the order in the eighth inning, we got a one-run lead. You know, you're not technically closing the game, but you're getting huge outs. So I think that's what AJ means by, doesn't want to define roles, because sometimes a role in the seventh inning can be just as important as the role in the ninth.
Lance McCullers, our guest via the Buyers Barricades Hotline, brought to you by Trailer Wheel and Frame. So I'm going back to May and especially June. Dallas Keuchel was a big topic on this show and obviously others throughout the city because of some struggles that he had. From your standpoint, you've pitched with Dallas for a long time. What's been the difference with him over the course of the last, I think, 6 or 7 weeks?
Well, I think he's got his changeup back. I think that him having his changeup really working the way he wants it to work is one of the biggest differences for Dallas, because when he has that going, he has a four pitch mix, and it's just too much for hitters. It's just too much for guys to really try to break down. I just think that, you know, Dallas was similar to me. What was happening to me a lot this year is I would just get myself into some situations, whether it was walking guys or whether it was bad luck or whether it was some guys getting some knocks. And then where in past years or even at times this year, I'd find a way to make pitches get out of those innings. And then this year, especially in a couple of those games, as we know, the Minnesota game, the Cleveland game was one, and also the Oakland game, is I just kind of implode. And I'll give up these 4 or 5 spots in these innings, and that'll kind of make my months. Because when you give up those kind of runs in one inning like that, it kind of sets you back for a while. I just think Dallas has been super consistent, and I think he's been everything that we've wanted him to be, leading innings, making every start, pitching really deep in the game. So the biggest thing for me is just that changeup and the ability for him to spot it up.
Lance, last question here. You've told us that you're trying to be more careful, maybe more judicious in how you use Twitter and social media. You don't want to get down these rabbit holes of negativity. I am a fan of what you've been doing, and I'm going to quote what you said about Carmelo Anthony the other day. Quote, "When I see any Melo slander on my timeline, y'all are getting blocked today. This man is a future Hall of Famer and can spot up from 40 foot, period," unquote. Have you always been a big Melo fan, or is it that now he's almost...
No, I have.
Yeah?
I have. I've always been a big Melo fan. I always felt like Melo, man, he's never really gotten like the help that he needed. He's always kind of been the guy that out of that draft class or like the Team USA basketballs, whether it's been, you know, with Wade, LeBron, Kobe, all the guys. I know he's never won a championship, but I just feel he's always kind of get slided, and I think people forget how good this guy really was. And by no means was I saying that he's the same player he was in 2008, but what I was saying was I'm not going to accept people, you know, throwing him under the bus about the possibility of his success that he could have with the Rockets just because they're going to go off last year or whatever. I think we should give him a chance, and I think that he has a chance to really work, and he has a chance to be really good here.
Lance, last thing, we lied. I've got one more question.
Springer on one end, you on the other.
Just between us,
Springer's not lying. He's just talking a lot.
Do you have any sense for a timeline on the injury and when you'll be back pitching?
No, because like I said, it's something that you can't put a hard timeline on, because once it's all about how long the muscle is going to take. So, you know, when the muscle is good to go, kind of like Seth was saying, when the muscle is good to go and it's good to go for, you know, a certain period of time, then I'll be able to kind of ramp things up. So I don't know about the timeline that AJ gave. It could be before that, or, you know, it could be around what he said. This is real touch and go, but I'm hopeful that it'll be hopefully sooner than that.
Lance, we'll chat next week. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lance.
All right, guys.